Friends, Stores Management, Chapter number 19, and the name of the chapter is Outsourcing of Warehouse Operations. About this, I made a mention sometime back in chapter number 17 or 18. Outsourcing is generally defined as working with a supplier to provide a function or service which is not a part of organization's core competence. For example, my organization's core competence is internal grinding. So that I will not outsource. I will outsource something which is not a part of my core competence. So outsourcing is generally defined as working with a supplier or an expert person to provide a function or service which is not a part of organization's core competence. I will explain to you what is core competence. By this, it is intended to take advantage of knowledge and economies of scale of a specialist, that is a supplier, to improve performance and achieve the service needed, usually at a lower cost. Because our job is to reduce the cost also. Companies that decide to outsource must ensure that any outsource processes remain seamlessly integrated with the rest of the business operations and furthermore improve performance. Why outsourcing is required? Access to greater expertise. That means when I outsource, the supplier is having more expertise, more experience, more competence than me. So I take advantage of that. Then cost reduction, which is my basic job. Flexibility. I have explained the flexibility. Less capital expenditure, that means I can reduce my capital expenditure on material handling equipment because that expert person is already having material handling equipment with him. Then service level improvement, reduction in management time. I can reduce my management time because once I outsource, I don't have to look after that particular operation. Concentration on core competencies. Then I can concentrate more on my core competencies. For example, I can improve the expertise. I can give more and more training, retraining to my people. I can bring some more machines which are more capable. So I can concentrate on my core competencies. I can reduce my management time. Then cost control, visibility. Then shared user responsibility. Innovation. Why innovation? Because that person whom I have outsourced the operations, he can do more innovation because he is more expert. Then resource availability, more resources are available to me. Risk reduction, I can transfer the risk to him. Risk transfer, you may have heard, I can transfer the risk to him. So more and more benefits I am getting if I outsource my operations. Outsourcing decision making. How I can do the decision making? For example, stage one, define the core activities. I should define what are my core activities. In which operations I am more expert. In which operations I need not outsource, I can do myself. Non-core activities can be outsourced. Core activities only I can do. Non-core activities I can outsource. But if non-core activities, they create some labor problems, IR problems, industrial relation problems, then I will do it internally. But if there are no labor problems, non-core activities I can outsource. Then analysis of the core activities. Whatever core activities I have because non-core activities I have outsourced, whatever core activities that I will analyze, evaluate value chain activities, benchmarking, then total cost analysis of the core activities. If more capable people are outside available, then some of the core activities also I can outsource. Some of the core activities I can outsource. Then, relationship analysis, number of compatible suppliers and threat of competition. If there is no threat of competition, I can outsource. That means all non-core activities I can outsource. If there is a labor problem, if I outsource the non-core activities, then I will do it internally. And then I will analyze the core activities. And if some of the core activities, outside people are available and there is no threat of competition, I will still outsource the core activities also. So that is the this chart is there. Any outsourcing decision should be based on the suitability of the activity outsource. That means the outsourced activity should be suitable to us. Then the profile and culture of the potential supplier. We must study that. Whether that culture is suitable to us. Then impact of the outsourcing on the remaining business. It should not happen that we have outsourced and because of that outsourcing, our business is getting disturbed. There are labor problems. There are some other technical problems coming. It should not happen. If it not happening, then you can outsource. Then costs. We must have some benefit in the cost. That means cost should be reduced because of the outsourcing. Risk. Our risk in the business should be reduced because of outsourcing. It should not increase. So decision should be made. Decision analysis should be done on the basis that costs are less, risks are less. On that basis, we should do the decision. In the majority of the cases, where the scale of the warehouse does not warrant a dedicated operation. Dedicated operation means a warehouse where only our job is being done. No other job is being done. No other person is doing business there. Such a dedicated, reserved warehouse. And where the warehouse is not adjacent to manufacturing facility. That means that warehouse is not near my manufacturing facility. It is not a dedicated operation. It does not need a dedicated operation. In that case, companies should seriously consider using a shared user or public warehouse. What is public warehouse or what is shared user? Where various people are storing their material and various customers are being supplied with that warehouse. It is not a dedicated for one product or one particular manufacturer. It is being shared by many, many people. Such a warehouse is called as shared user or public warehouse. This enables companies to benefit from economies of scale because it is cheaper. By sharing resources and assets, increasing resource capability with no workforce increases. That means we don't have to increase the workforce. We can share the workforce there while benefiting from industry advances in technology. Because that shared warehouse has better technology which somebody else has invested in. Why we have to outsource the warehouse operations? First of all, core activity or core competence. We should analyze if the warehouse operation is our core of competence. Answer will be no, because a core competency is fundamental knowledge, as I said, grinding, internal grinding, ability or expertise in a specific subject or skill set like heat treatment. There are three tests to identify a core competence. And which operation I will call as core competence? It provides access to a wide variety of markets. It contributes significantly to the end product benefits. It is difficult for competitors to imitate. That means I am doing something which other cannot imitate. So this is my core competence. Now ask the question, is warehousing my core competence? The answer will be no. That's why it becomes a likely process for outsourcing. Secondly, improvement in customer service. If I outsource, I will be able to give a better service to the customer. Who says so? According to one survey, 56% of respondents said that their use of third-party logistics had led to year-on-year incremental benefits. Somebody has told me this. Other surveys suggest that 80% of the companies outsourcing their logistic operations are pleased with the service they are receiving. Okay, some people also have given some negative opinion. I agree. However, some companies frequently change third-party providers mainly because of dissatisfaction about the service received by them. Okay, in some cases, people are not happy. But 80% of the companies say that outsourcing their logistic operation are better. So we should definitely outsource. Then, cost reduction. According to a survey, the responders who achieved incremental benefits saw a reduction of 15% in the logistic cost, 8% saving in inventory cost, and 26% saving in logistics cost. Previous surveys suggested that only 20% of the best-in-class companies achieved a cost reduction. That means there are some positive views, there are some negative views. Greater cost savings can be achieved when moving from a dedicated facility to shared user. Earlier I have said that if I use a shared user warehouse, I can save cost, I can save money, where costs are incurred based on volume and fluctuate in line with actual activities or actual sales. Then, labor relations. Many companies had outsourced warehousing operations to deal with labor relations issues as well as spiraling waste costs. However, these companies did not always see an improvement because reason is that cost reduction and productivity improvements had to come from better practices, increased morale, improved working conditions, and not by outsourcing. So, labor relations can improve from better practices, increased morale, improved working conditions, and not merely by outsourcing. Okay, so you have to take decision accordingly. Then financial strategy. When companies decide to concentrate on improving their return on assets employed, they divest their warehouses and capital equipment by moving to an existing third-party warehouse. That is shared use. Contracting with a third party to build a warehouse for their operations, or getting the third party to buy their existing warehouse also, which they don't want to run because it is not their core competence. Companies also entered into back-to-back contracts on key assets employed in the service provision. So definitely better financial strategy is there. That's why we should outsource. Then flexibility. Suppose the finished stock in the warehouse of a manufacturer moved from 500 pallets to 10,000 pallets at peak. That means when the season is good, as a result of changing markets, it becomes very difficult in those circumstances to decide on capacity of the warehouse because sometimes the demand is only 500 pallets. Sometimes it increases to 10,000. Then how can I build a warehouse, a big warehouse, which will be idle in some non-season days? As such, the manufacturer decides to outsource the majority of the storage equipment, freeing up the space, and made the third party responsible to find another clients to dovetail with the storage availability. That means storage availability is very big. I will outsource that. Then that fellow will look for various clients to fill the storage availability. So that's why I outsource them, because I have a lot of benefits in outsourcing the warehouse operations. Third party contractors, that means the people whom I have outsourced the operations. Third party contractors can operate dedicated warehouses, shared user warehousing on behalf of their client. Both. Dedicated warehouses also, shared user warehouses also. Dedicated warehouses are where a company has decided to either relinquish its own warehouse operation to a third party, with the contractor taking over the building, staff, equipment, everything. And but it is a warehouse which is dedicated to his this manufacturer. But the third party has taken over building also, staff also, and equipment also. That's dedicated. Alternatively, it may be totally new operation where the client has decided to outsource rather than operate the warehouse itself. This could be a new building or use of an existing building. Then third party contractors can operate dedicated and shared user. In a shared user warehousing, the third party logistics company, that is 3PL, third party logistic company, will acquire a warehouse, use it to provide services on behalf of a number of different clients. That means dedicated is only for that particular manufacturer. Shared user is being used by a number of different clients who manufacture wide-ranging products. These warehouses can also operate as fulfillment centers. I have already explained to you what is the fulfillment center. That is the fulfillment of the customer orders, where a number of different e-commerce or mail order clients are housed in the same building and are provided with similar services. Now, what are the things to do before contacting any third-party logistic provider? Ensure current processes, that means my current processes, are efficient as possible. You should never outsource a problematic process. First of all, before outsourcing warehousing, I have to ensure that my current processes are as efficient as possible. Secondly, it is important to understand the total cost of current operations. First of all, I should know what is the total cost of my operations. Involve a number of departments in this exercise. Furthermore, you need to know the additional cost after outsourcing. It can happen that after outsourcing, the costs are increasing. We should know that, such as employment of a contract manager, cost of checking invoices, cost of checking systems integration with the third party. Benchmark the operation against your peers, both internally and externally. Determine your future strategy. Understand the third party market. Find out which third parties are operating in your market sector. Find out. Take advice from your colleagues, companies or logistics consultant on which third parties are likely to provide the right service. That means before outsourcing, all these things you have to do. Approach as few companies as possible. Issue RFI. What is RFI? Request for information. Get the information. First of all, what is your experience in and understanding of my particular market sector? What is the availability of resources with him? Suitable range of services which he is able to give. Ability to comply with time scales. Is he able to really comply with my time scales? What is his financial stability? Suppose he is very weak, then definitely we should forget about it. Then geographic coverage, contract renewal success rates, culture, all this. In order to receive accurate quotations from the third parties, you should provide them with comprehensive data about your own warehouse. First of all, you should know what is the cost data of your own warehouse. Then you will be able to compare the quotations received from third parties. This will enable you to compare total cost of operation and weigh up the benefits of outsourcing. It should not happen that the cost of outsourcing is more than your own already having whatever cost you are having. Choosing the right partner. Following points have to be taken into account while choosing the right partner. Strategic priorities of the partner organization must be aligned with your own organization. Relevant business processes have to be aligned with your own business process. The nature of the commercial risk management and service level arrangements between both companies must be aligned. The cultural fit between the two organizations at strategic and operational level are to be strong. This type of chart we have already discussed. For example, range of services. Target rating is 5. Weightage is 40. That means target score is 200. But the range of services which he is offering, as per me, is only 3. I need 5, but he is able to give 3. And so, actual score is 120. Like that I have to do. Market experience, I need 4. He is able to give 4. So the actual score is 120, which is okay. In case of range of services, it is not okay. Because against 200, it is 120. But market experience, against 120, it is 120. So market experience is good. Like that, we have to compare quality of management, health and safety record, total cost, strategy, information technology, what he has. 100, that means it is okay. Financial stability, I need 5, he has 3. So here I have to worry. Reputation, shared user warehouses, what he has. Global coverage, what he has. So total score, actual score is 1020 against 1120. No, he is 91.1% fit. Now what is the meaning of this? Meaning is, wherever actual score is less than what is expected by me, he has to improve. Then only I will outsource. Some important factors to be considered while choosing a long-term partner. A supplier with a culture of creativity and innovation is normally a good problem solver, which can translate into cost-saving operations. Openness, information sharing are the key points, definitely. Ability to communicate and collaborate, rapid response, being able to adapt quickly to market changes are critical in today's supply chain. Then, very, very, very important is trustworthiness, flexibility and operational agility. Cultural fit. Do the companies have a culture of continuous improvement? What are their people management styles? How much emphasis do they place on cross-company training? How to manage a third-party relationship? Once the contract is signed, after all these things are taken into consideration, transfer of staff and potential change in culture are the important areas. Change management. Change management is an important part of the process. The third party will have expertise in this area. Definitely, both companies need to work together, dovetailing, to ensure a smooth transition. An outsourced contract is like a personal relationship. During the early stages, there is a great deal of communication and agreement on many things. As the relationship matures, conversation falters, new ideas become fewer. In case of every relationship, it happens. When the relationship is new, everything is very good. After so many years, conversation falters, new ideas become fewer. So this chart is showing what? User's expectation, high expectation of business profits. Realization, implementation more difficult than expected. Stagnation, lack of innovation from the provider. Frustration, need to step change, improvement, prompts review of relationship. Initially, high expectation of business profits. Slowly, realization, implementation is more difficult. Then, stagnation, lack of innovation. Then, need to step change, improvement. Slowly, the relationship is getting deteriorated. What about the provider? Excitement. Initially, he is excited. Oh, I can work for this. Then, implementation more difficult. Good, solid operational delivery, but not valued by the customer. See, I am doing such a good job. But that fellow says, it is not good, it is not good. He is not valuing my relationship. And ultimately, what happens? Despite long relationship and solid operational delivery, customer goes to tender. So, slowly, relationship is getting deteriorated. The third party is seen as an expert and is expected to innovate, fully understand the client's needs, and use the management fee to not only ensure the best service, but introduce a culture of continuous improvement. This is the chart which shows why do outsourced relationships fail. The first and major reason is inefficient management by third-party logistic provider, 61%, main reason. Then problems evaluating and monitoring third-party logistic provider, 44%. We have problems evaluating and monitoring third-party logistic provider. We are not evaluated him properly. We are not able to monitor him properly, 44%. So 61%, 44%. Hidden cause, too many hidden cause. So he is crying to increase the money and all that. Hidden cost, 33%. Loss of control over third-party logistic provider. We don't have any control on it. Latent information asymmetry, 24%. Crashing firm cultures, 24%. Loss of logistic innovative capacity. No innovative capacity. Over-dependence on third party, 11%. So, outsource relationship fail. Other reasons. Loss of trust. That is the very, very important reason. Loss of trust. We have lost trust in that fellow. Reluctance to change during contract period. I want him to change, but he said no. I will not change. Promised flexibility not delivered by third party logistic provider and poor levels of service. That's why contracts fail. Non-renewal of contracts. Then higher cost than envisaged, then rate hikes during the contract. Failure to deliver as contracted. Extra charging for services which were already contracted. So quarrels and fights. Cheaper computers are available. Lack of commitment by third party logistic provider, and because of all these reasons, contracts are not reviewed, they fail, and quarrels happen, fights happen. Five rules that will transform outsourcing. What should we do that outsourcing is successful? This is the chart. First reason, clearly defined and measurable desired outcomes. Before the contract is made, define clearly what do you want, what outcomes are needed. Outcome-based contract, not transaction-based contract. Outcome-based. Number one, very important. Number two, focuses on the what and not how. That means, what do you need from him? What do you need? Ask him. Only what do you need? Don't tell him how to do it. Let him do it. He is more expert. He is more expert and he knows the job better than you. So don't tell him how to do it. Just ask him what to do. What outcomes you will give me. How to do it, don't tell him. That is the second thing. Third, outcome-based versus transaction-based business model. I just now said that your business model should be outcome-based. What outcomes are required from the third party and not the transaction-based business model? That is the third one. And fourth is pricing model. Incentives are optimized, cost-service trade-offs. That means if he does any better job, you should give him incentives. His morale should be very high. And insight versus oversight governance structure. You should not do any oversight. Oversight means supervision on him. Insight. What do you get from him? What do you get from him? That is important. Don't supervise him. Don't, you know, tell him what to do. So, how to do. Tell him only what do you want. That is better. Win-win relationship. There should be a win-win relationship between you and the third party. So, it is explained now in this slide. Focus on outcomes, not transactions. Traditionally, most business and outsource models are transaction-based. That means transaction. How many transactions he has done? Whether these transactions are useful to you or not. How many transactions? You are paying him on transactions basis. Under this conventional method, the service provider is paid for every transaction, whether or not it is needed. Whether the transaction is needed or not, we pay him. The real model is called wasted model, outcome-based model. The wasted model, in contrast, operates under an outcome-based model wherein the company and the service provider agree together on desired performance. That means we pay him on, not on transactions. We pay him on performance outcome, such as availability, reliability, cost, revenue generation, employee satisfaction, customer satisfaction, asset investment targets. I pay him on outcomes. That is called wasted model. Outcome-based model. So this is rule number one. Focus on outcomes, not transactions. Very important rule number one. Focus on outcomes, not transactions. Then second rule, focus on what, not how. In the wasted model, that is outcome-based model, which operates under an outcome-based model, the company specifies what it wants. And the service provider is responsible for determining how it gets. That means how he will do it, method, etc. Service provider will decide. What do you want? What it wants, company should say. The problem that often arises is outsourcing paradox. Companies cannot resist the urge to tell the service provider how to do the job. Do this like this. Do this like this. Once the provider, someone more competent, see, the third party logistic provider is more competent, more experienced. He will not like somebody else to tell him how to do the job. So once the provider, someone more competent is found, let them do the job. Rule number two, let them do the job. Third, agree on clearly defined and measurable outcomes. The parties must clearly define and measure desired outcomes. These outcomes are expressed in terms of a limited set of maximum five of high level metrics. Teams should spend time together defining how the success of the relationship will be measured. So, agree on clearly defined, measurable outcomes. Rule 4, pricing model with incentives that optimize the business. I already said it, a properly structured pricing model incorporates incentives to enable the company to achieve its desired outcomes. That means you want better outcomes, give him incentive for that. The pricing model must balance risk and reward for the organizations. The agreement should be structured to ensure that The service provider should never be penalized for rising costs of fuel or energy. That means, suppose the cost of electricity goes up, you should not penalize the third party contractor for that. You are responsible for that. And the agreement should specify that the service provider will deliver solutions, not activities. We don't want only activities. We want insights. We want solutions. Rule number 5, governance structures that provide insight, not merely oversight. I already said it. The partnerships should be managed to create a culture of insight. That means what I get from that relationship versus oversight, not only supervision. It empowers the parties to pursue improvements that will deliver better performance. Let him do it. It empowers the parties to pursue improvements that will deliver better performance, higher profits, and lower total ownership cost. An effective vested partnership, that is outcome-based model, outsources processes to service providers who are real experts, real masters in those processes. Still, some companies often have a small army of people frequently referred to as program managers who macro-manage the outsource provider, who always ask him how to do the things, tell him how to do the things. Micromanage the outsource provider. It is not at all warranted. You should not micromanage the outsource provider because he is more expert than you. In order to make an outsourcing relationship work, the parties should take the following steps. Define why you are outsourcing. What success looks like. Define the value you want to create from outsourcing. Test for realism. Tailor the selection process and understand the benefit versus cost of exam-based tendering. Align the commercial structures and performance metrics to drive the right behaviors. Invest in the relationship and openly share information. Outsource for right reasons. Make it work for both the companies. Develop a partnership. Help your partner understand your business. Get the right people in key roles. Thank you.